This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So my wife and I met, as many people do, when we were in college. And we met when I was a junior in college. My wife was a sophomore, me being 1 year ahead of her. And I remember when I graduated college and went to seminary, and my wife was still in college, and we began what no couple looks forward to, a long-distance relationship. You see, it was easy for us when we were in college being on the same small campus, but now we were hours away. And even when she graduated college, it would still be a couple of years before we were able to get married. So in some sense, we were apart. We were at a distance from one another for about 2.5 years. And so obviously, when we got married, there was a lot of excitement about what the future held for us, about what God had planned for us as husband and wife. But one of our greatest excitement was simply being able to be together day in and day out. I imagine that this is the excitement that Mary and Joseph felt in our gospel reading today. And while they were engaged, it's important to understand that engagement in Mary and Joseph's day was quite different. You see, in Mary and Joseph's day, people got married very, very young, sometimes as young as 12 or 13 years old. And while this seems quite young to us, it makes sense when you consider that back in Jesus' day, the average life expectancy of a person was only 30 years old. And so life, adult life, had to begin much quicker than it did today. Marriages in Jesus' day were arranged between two families. Two families agreed that their son and their daughter would be married to one another. And when they became engaged, they lived a year apart. And I imagine that during this year, they were filled with the excitement and the possibility of what it would mean and what it would look like for them to become husband and wife. But while they had certain plans, God had other plans for them. Plans that they did not intend as part of their future. And so that's the theme. The title of today's sermon, if you will, is What's the Plan When Things Don't Go According to Plan? See, Mary and Joseph's plan was to be engaged, then to be married, then to have a child. But as we know, God's plan did not go that way. In God's plan, the Holy Spirit visited her and revealed to her that she was with a child. And this child would not be any other child, but would be the Savior of the whole world. And they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And his name will be Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Mary understood this quite clearly because the angel revealed this to her. But when she shared this news with Joseph, at first, he was shocked and understandably disappointed because these plans made no sense. These plans were unlike his plans at all, and so he began to make new plans of his own. New plans, the scripture says, to dismiss his wife quietly and not in public. You see, as terrible as it is, in Jesus' day, if a person became pregnant during their engagement, before they were married, they could actually be put to death. And so Joseph, as strange as it sounds, was actually doing Mary a favor, planning to divorce her, to separate her from her quietly, so that she might not be publicly shamed and hurt. But then, as we know, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph too and revealed to him that this is God's plan and that he should continue to be with Mary and marry Mary and take her as his wife. You see, Joseph demonstrated an important quality, the ability to get on board with God's plan when life does not go according to our plan. You see, when we have a plan for our life, whether it's a plan for our careers, whether it's a plan for our families, what have you, when we have a vision for the future, and that vision for the future does not come true, we're understandably confused and shocked and disappointed. If you were with us last week, you remember that I shared a sermon illustration that following God's path, following God's will, is like driving in the dark. It's like driving in difficult weather. You can't see what's far ahead of you, but you can only see what's right in front of you. And if we're being honest with ourselves, following God's plan is sometimes scary. Because when life takes twists and turns that we do not intend, when life goes ways in different directions that we do not want or plan for, it's scary, it's hard, and it's difficult. But what we must remember, what the scripture reveals to us, what the angel revealed to Joseph, is that our ways are not God's ways, and our plans are not always in line with God's plans. You see, I like to think that God is like a dealer in cards. And if you've ever played cards before, and I love cards, I love all sorts of different card games, there's an expression, you play the hand that you are dealt. You play the hand that you are dealt, not that the hand that you want. See, if you play the hand that doesn't exist, you're playing cards that you do not have, that you do not possess. Instead, you are called to look at the cards in your hand and play those to the best of your ability. And while God is like a dealer, it's different in one important sense. God, unlike a dealer, does not deal cards into our life randomly or without thought. But God deals the cards that we receive carefully, carefully according to his will, and carefully out of love and mercy that he shows for us. See, God gives us situations and circumstances in life and helps us through those situations and circumstances. That when we face problems that are not of God's own doing, God gives us the resources to address those problems, to live and think through those problems. So what does that then look like? What does that then look like to live not according to our own plan, but to live according to God's plan? In high school, one of the things that I loved doing was playing football. And while I played a variety of different positions, my freshman year, I found myself at one point playing the position of running back. Now, if you're not a football fan, the job of the running back is to receive the ball from the quarterback and, you guessed it, run and try to score a touchdown or at least get as many yards as possible. And what happens is the line, the offensive line, the blockers, if you will, they create a hole for the running back, and the running back is supposed to run through that hole. But after they run through that hole, they are then to try to get as many more yards as possible, and even, if possible, a touchdown. And I remember that my coach, specifically my running backs coach, would always tell me to do something specific. He would always tell me, Andy, when you run the ball, make sure you go against the grain. Make sure you go against the grain. You see, what would happen is if I was running to the right, the defense would run to the right as well. And my natural inclination was, if I was going to the right and they were trying to go to the right, to run to the right faster and further than them. But what he said is the key to being a running back is, as the defense is going to the right and you're coming through that hole, go against the grain and go to the left. Now, I have to admit, this was really, really hard for me to do at first, because going against the grain almost felt like running towards the defense. It almost felt like running towards the defense, even though the defense was going the other direction. And time again, I failed to do this. And time again, I would make some progress running the ball, but always get caught up by the defense. And I remember one particular time, I don't remember why, I finally got it. It sunk in with me. I was going to the right, the defense was going to the left, and as the defense was going to the right, I cut back to the left. I cut back to the left, and at first, it was difficult. At first, I didn't see any open grass or green, but then all of a sudden, because the defense was moving a separate direction, I found an opening, a path, a way forward. I share that story with you because that's what Joseph is called to do in our gospel reading today. Joseph is called to go against the grain. Joseph is called to go against the grain because everything he's been taught, everything that he's been known in his culture, teaches him that he is supposed to follow a certain path in life. The first, he's supposed to be a good son, and then he's supposed to be a good husband. And being a good husband and being a part of a good family meant, according to his culture and tradition, to follow certain steps. But in our gospel reading today, God calls Joseph to go against the grain. And God calls us to go against the grain sometimes as well. You see, Jesus talks about this time and time again in the scripture readings, that if our faith, if our words or our actions mirror those of the world, if our attitudes and our positions and our norms and our values are only based on what we see in the world, then what difference does our faith make? How are we really making an impact on the world? Instead, we're called to go against the grain. We're called to look for opportunities and moments and situations in our life that call us to think and feel differently about the world around us. To act not as others would have us do, but to act as God would have us do. You see, the Apostle Paul talks about this when he says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are in faith, to us who believe in Jesus Christ, it is the saving work of God. You see, the cross is a symbol, a representation of God going against the grain, of God using something that was a tool of destruction, a tool of humiliation, a tool of punishment to save all those who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went against the grain, and we are called to do the same. I heard a wonderful story recently about an example of someone doing this. It would happen in something called a marathon race. And a marathon race, as most of you know, is one of the longest races a person can participate in, 26.2 miles. It is a grueling experience that takes months and months of training. And that when you run the race, it takes almost every ounce of strength and effort you have to complete it. And I heard this story recently about a marathon runner named Ivan Fernandez. And Ivan Fernandez is a professional marathon runner, and he was running a race. And during this race, he was in second place. And his place in second was very secure. And as he came to the end of the race, he saw that the first place runner was far, far ahead of them. But something happens sometimes when you run a race that long. Towards the end, because you're dehydrated or simply exhausted, you can be somewhat confused. Your body doesn't necessarily only shut down, but your mind begins to shut down as well. And the runner that was ahead of him, this runner from Kenya, began to slow down and stop because he had misread the signs. He had misread the signals. You see, he was not out of energy. He began to stop a few feet from the finish line, even though the race was not over. Now, the world would think that this is Ivan Fernandez's chance to take advantage of this man's confusion and beat him and win the race. But what he did was not run faster. Instead, he slowed down. He slowed down that last few feet of the race, and he instructed the runner to go a few feet further, to finish the race ahead of him. And this Kenyan runner finished in first, and Ivan finished in second. After the race, a reporter asked him, "How could you do that? Why would you do that? How could you do that? You could have won the race." And Ivan Fernandez said, "It wasn't my race to win." But the reporter said, "But you could have won." And Fernandez looked at him very seriously and said, "If I would have passed him in a race that we both know he deserved to win, a race we both know he earned winning, where is the honor in that? Where is the integrity in that?" You see, in life, we are called to live the same way. We are called to live and as Joseph did, by going against the grain, to look for situations and opportunities where God's values conflict with the world's values, and go against the grain and live according not to our plan or someone else's plan, but to God's plan. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be people of faith, what it means to have courage and conviction, what it means to listen to your word and your truth, and let that be our guide. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @glc_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.